everyone, this is Josh from solopreneurgrind.com. I am here with Renee from Simply Design. Renee, thanks a lot for coming on the show today.
Thank you very much, Josh. Appreciate you having me.
Awesome, Renee. So just to get started and so we can get into some further conversation, can you tell us a little bit more about your entrepreneurship journey or how it got started?
I would say my journey got started out of necessity more than anything else.
Right.
I'm not saying that doesn't happen for other people, but mine especially. And I say that because I started this out, and I was a former teacher. I've been teaching for like 20-something years, and I lost my job. And I don't know what it was, but it was somehow, I think I was burned out. I just did not want to go back into the classroom like that. It was like, this just doesn't work for me anymore. And the funny part about it, when it first happened to me, I was trying everything under the sun, like trying to figure out, like I started doing things like making greeting cards and journals. And in my head, I'm going, how is this going to help me make money? I need to figure something out here. And I just kept going towards those things that were in my heart, passionate and creative. And soon before you know it, I look up and I'm like, this is exactly what I want to do. And so I transitioned from being a teacher to being a sort of like still a teacher, but more in the art field, more in the design field. And in a way that would bring, I think, a greater audience to what I was trying to do and what I was trying to teach. So my products got started because of that. I wanted to create an audience to help children and in a way that was a little different than the norm.
Right.
So if that makes any sense, my products basically are for children. They're bedroom accessories that allow them to have some kind of inspiration, art, culture, history, and education in their bedrooms. And I do that through my designs.
Right. Now, Renee, how long was the time period? You say you got laid off. You started kind of designing these different things, and then you had this aha moment where you realize this is kind of what you wanted to do. How long was that time period?
Oh, Josh, that was a long time. I was going through so many ups and downs, trying to figure it out, and at the same time having to live. You know, I have to pay bills. I had to, you know, figure out how I'm going to do that at the same time. So the clarity did not happen until I actually just committed myself. I think when I said, you know what, this is what I want to do. And so once I did that, it's like the door started opening up in terms of getting information, in terms of getting help, and in terms of just kind of beginning to learn more and more to apply to what I wanted to do. And so I think I can't say if there's any particular point, like date or time, but it was the moment when I said, this is what I want to do, and I'm going all the way.
Right. Yeah. And why do you think it took so long to realize that? Is it, you think it was because you were in more of this quote unquote traditional job for a while, or you didn't see yourself as this type of entrepreneur, or what do you think that reason was?
And it was a couple of reasons. I did not see myself that way. And you know, you'd start to do stuff and people around you are like, oh my God, what's wrong with you? You need to do this, you need to do that. So that was that part of that was coming into me, and I'm feeling like, oh, maybe I'm crazy. I should be doing this, you know? And then there was fear, you know, like, I'm like, I don't know what to do here. I mean, this is a challenge for me. I'm learning, this is something I've never done before. This is something that, you know, I don't have the background per se for, and I didn't have anybody to actually show me, like, how do you do this? And so there's fear trying to figure that out, and then trying to figure out, how am I going to still live? You know? And so I think a combination of fear, a combination of feeling like, you know, I wasn't really, this wasn't what I was supposed to be doing, because other people are telling me, you know, this isn't, you're not doing the right thing, you're going the wrong direction. And I just had to buckle down and say, you know what, I know what's in my heart. I know what I want to do. I know what I'm capable of doing. And I have to hear me, and I can't listen to everybody else.
Right. Yeah, I think that's such an important point for so many entrepreneurs, is that tipping point, so to speak, where you go from kind of dipsy doodling, trying things here and there, or maybe you're working, you know, a lot of hours on it, but you're not fully committed. And once you make that commitment, things start to kind of change. And so what was the difference? You made that kind of mind switch, you committed 100%. What happened next?
Well, I think when I made that commitment, I realized I had to level up, as they say today, right? I had to, mm-hmm. I had to start doing what I said I was going to do. I had to learn a program that I was struggling with and that sometimes I did not want to do because of the struggle. So when you're frustrated by things, you tend to be like, I just don't want to deal with this anymore. But I realized if I didn't, I can't do what I say I'm going to do. I started taking online classes that helped me learn the things that I wanted to learn. And I had to be studious to that, you know. And so it was a matter of just constantly doing the very things that I was running away from or trying to run away from. So
right.
I leveled up a little.
What type of classes did you take? Was it more design? Was it more business, e-commerce?
I took a lot of classes. Right. Yes. I took graphic design classes. I took business classes. Some of them were offline. A lot of them were online through Skillshare, where I would take classes on art, design, you know, mainly sticking to graphic design and design or pattern design, basically just really fabric and pattern design, because that was really what my direction was. But a little bit of graphic design to help me to understand how to put all this together, how to use the program itself. Then the business courses, because I needed help, you know, I needed to know how to market and, you know, doing this online and how to, you know, bring in the social media without having a lot of money, and how to do a blog and put all this together. And it's still a work in progress because I'm not quite where I'd like to be, but it's beginning to meld. You know, like I'm beginning to say, okay, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And so, you know, and then there's a lot of information online and there are a lot of people telling you, I can do this, I can do that. So that becomes very confusing. That's it's like, oh my God, who do I think, who do I believe? Especially when you don't have any knowledge. So you have to weed out, you know, those things that don't work for you. And then we, you know, try to focus on what you know you can do. And so Skillshare was like a lifesaver to me. I mean, I'm giving them a plug here, but, you know.
Are you an affiliate?
No, not yet.
I wish, right?
Right, right. But it was a lifesaver in the sense that it was small bites of information that I could take in, and I was getting some progress. I was getting some success, and so I said, I need to stick to this. This is working for me. And right. So then, you know, that's kind of how I kind of segue into after the final commitment to say, you know what, I'm gonna hang tough with this.
Right. One of the things that I find that's so tough, because I completely agree, there's so much information out there and which of it's good and which can you trust. Can you speak a little bit, Renee, about how you struck a balance between learning and doing? Like, when was the point where you said, I mean, we should never stop learning, right? Everyone should always continue learning. But at what point did you kind of watch enough courses or read enough blog posts to say, okay, it's time to switch gears here a little bit?
Well, actually, I started off with the product line with stuff I already had, and I really did not know what I was doing. But I figured I need to put it out here. You know, they always say, just do it, right? And so I'm like, okay, well, I need to put something out because I want this to be serious, and I don't want it to be like, okay, you keep saying you're going to do this, you keep saying you're going to do this. So I finally, I did start off with just photographs I had taken of flowers. And but I knew that it wasn't quite exactly what I knew could be done. And so the learning curve became like, okay, now you've done that, but now you need to really learn how to do fabric patterns, you know, on Illustrator. You still don't know how to do that. And so after putting that out, I decided, well, let me keep trying. And so the level of frustration, if you know anything about Adobe products, and I'm sure you do, they have a high learning curve. They are not simple. They're very sophisticated. And so if you have no one helping you learn it and you're on your own, you're making a lot of mistakes and errors and trials. And even if you got somebody showing you, you're still like, okay, well, what did I do wrong? And so eventually I just kept at it. You know, I just kept saying, well, let me just keep trying. And among that was a lot of feeling of failure and frustration and I don't want to do this and it's too hard. And I just said, but if I don't do this, then I'm not telling the truth about what I want to do. So I just kept trying. And eventually the light bulb went on and I finally was able to do what I thought I wasn't able to do. And that was like, oh my God, I can do this.
Right. Yeah. And there's a few kind of lessons I take out of that. I mean, number one is a lot of people, myself included, put a lot of work into perfecting a product or a service before putting it out there. But it sounds like by just throwing something online, really gave you the motivation and the insight into what you had to work on next or improve on next, so that the next thing you did was even better, right? Because nothing's going to be perfect the first time we put it out online, at least from nobody who I've met has.
Right, absolutely. And that did motivate me, because now I had to prove to myself that I could actually create the fabric patterns that I'm saying I can do. You know, so it's a motivation in the sense that you've already put yourself out there. You got people looking at what you're doing, even if it's a small segment of population. And then in your mm-hmm. mind, you're going, well, I need to, I really, and I enjoyed it. I mean, because I was getting good remarks about it. Oh, this really pretty. It's very nice. So that's a motivation, because I'm thinking, okay, well, this thing, that's nice. Well, I can really just, you know, I'm going to even do more. And so there's an internal motivation and there is an outside motivation when you just do it. Because people will like some of the stuff. Everybody might not, but there will be some people who will say, that's nice. And it's a way of motivating you as well. So, it's a very lesson I had to learn, because I did for a long time. I feared, just like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
I throw this out here, people are going to laugh at me. They're looking like, what is she doing? And I hesitated, you know, but then I just said, you know what? I'm just going to do it.
Right. And were you full-time at this point? Were you treating it kind of like a full-time job? Did you have a part-time job? Like, well, how were you supporting yourself?
I was working as a teaching artist, and which was another struggle.
Right.
I was actually getting assignments from doing art. And the reason why is because I knew how to teach. I mean, it was my gift. That was my ability, my skill. And so I figured if I could combine the two, the teaching with the artistry, that would help me to segue into the business that I was doing. And so that was my thinking, not realizing that that too was like a freelance solopreneur kind of thing too. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, I'm not going to do this, right? And so I just kept pushing away, you know, like I have no other choice. I don't have a bank account that's full of money. I don't have a rich relative. I don't have anybody that I can go to and say, you know what, you know, here's some money. You'll be okay. For family and friends tried to help me as best they could, but they just thought I was wasting time, you know? So, mm-hmm. You know, I had to kind of continue to push out that. And so I did get some work in that direction, and people were noticing what I was doing, and, you know, and so that helped me a lot, you know, segue into what I was doing, because at least kept me from, you know, worrying so much about income. I also did some things where I was working as a culinary enrichment teacher. So I did cooking classes. So, you know, everything I could probably think of that I could utilize my teaching background for, or something I had a passion for, or tried to have, you know, do. I did sewing classes. So I was constantly just out there trying to find something that would help me make money and still do what I'm doing. And so there were times when it was like, I'm crazy. I need to get, this is not, what's right. wrong with me? Right.
I mean, so, I think we're all a little crazy, right?
Yeah. Yes.
To be doing what we're doing. but it seems like one connection, well, one of many connections, to entrepreneurs, especially when you're in a tight spot like that, is that we're willing to do some things or take on some tasks that we wouldn't normally do in an effort to support ourselves for the stuff that we do want to do, right?
Absolutely.
So all of those kind of part-time gigs and different teaching assignments that you had, or teaching opportunities that you may not have taken as you were teaching full-time, but in this scenario, you wanted to build up the resources to support what you did want to do. Can you talk about, Renee, what it was like for you going from working in a classroom, or even more so just working in a quote unquote real job, to working for yourself, and, you know, primarily, I'm assuming, working on your own, and what that was like?
Well, working in a classroom, and I enjoyed it when I did it, so I don't want anybody to get the impression I hated teaching. That's mm-hmm. my gift. But, I took on a lot, and I did it because of love of it, and I wanted to make a difference with the children, and I was teaching. And so there was a lot involved in that. You know, you constantly have a lot of paperwork. When people see that you're pretty good at it, they assign you all these different other classes, and they want you to do everything. They want you to kind of like be the hero. And at the time, you know, when I was doing it, I was fine with that because that's what I was doing. But once I lost the job, I realized it burned me out because I couldn't consciously, with a clear conscience, not do a good job. That just wasn't my personality.
Right.
And so there was a lot of entities to that. And then you couldn't, you know, you had ideas and people would, you know, not necessarily see your vision and, you know, would make you kind of frustrated because you're like, this is good. This is possible, you know? And so the difference between that and working for myself, I can actually create my own vision. I don't have to wait for somebody to tell me it's okay. I can believe in myself, whether somebody believes me or not. And I can actually make that come to fruition and be something that, you know, people be like, wow, I never thought about that. And I wasn't doing it for that reason. It's more for the freedom and the flexibility. But I also knew that, you know, you don't get that freedom and flexibility until you put the work in. You know, you have to work hard at doing it. But that's kind of how I was looking at it. If this is something I want to do, I can create something that I see is important. And it allows me to have that creativity without worrying about whether or not somebody says, oh, you know, that is not good. You can't do that. You know. And so that was a major difference for me, you know, just being able to know that I could do that.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's funny you say it in that tone because I just posted on Instagram today about how one of the hard parts about being one of the many hard parts about being an entrepreneur is that actually the fact that you have that freedom can make it really hard because you have to decide what to do with your time and in what order, right? There's no boss, there's no one telling you what to do or anything like that. But I love that you've taken the positive approach, which is you're not looking at it as a challenge, which it is. You're looking at it as freedom to do whatever the heck you want, which is, I think, an awesome approach. As long as you're good at, you know, prioritizing and understanding what you have to do and when you have to do it. Do you have tips for anyone who maybe is still working the 9-to-5, whatever you want to call it, and hasn't had that type of freedom? How have you been able to learn and grow so much on your own without kind of much direction?
I would say that, like I said, necessity. You have strengths and weaknesses, and I did have those, both strengths and weaknesses. And the things that I had weaknesses in, I had to push past, which wasn't easy and still a struggle for me, but I'm a little bit better. And so one of the things that I started realizing through this journey was that I needed to organize myself in a certain way. And I know it sounds, what I'm going to say probably sounds to people like it's obvious, but for me it wasn't, right? So, you know, when you're in a 9-to-5 job, it's like, you know, to get up at a certain time and do X, Y, and Z, and, you know, you got to go up to a job and be your boss and stuff like that. And so that's a very obvious thing that you're supposed to do that. But for me, I struggled with my own self-discipline and organizing my time because I was always a multitasker and I was all over the place. And it was kind of hard for me to just pull it in and say, you know, do this, do this, and this. So one day I got a calendar and I think I was doing some proposals or something. I started putting days and times that I was going to do X, Y, and Z. Okay, so this day I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And I stopped stressing because it was a big stressor. Like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I would say, okay, well, because someone mentioned this to me a while back. I think it was a business coach. He said, do the most important things that will make you money. You know,
right.
Three most important things. And then your stress level decreases. So what I started doing was putting down the calendar, the three most important things I had to get done. And each day I would focus on those three things. And then I noticed one time I think it was a proposal I was doing or some kind of something I was doing. I had to get in at a certain time, I had a deadline. And I noticed that I finished it before the deadline. I'm like, oh my God, it's that simple. And I know to people, it's like, well, you know, that's obvious thing. But for me, it was like, because I was so scattered and like, oh, well, what do I do today? And how do I get this done? And I'm trying to multitask with four different things at one time. And it was a freeing process for me to actually sit down and say, this is what I'm going to do. These three things, I'm not going to worry about anything else. I'm not going to focus on anything else. I need to get these three things done today. So if you are still at a 9-to-5 and you're trying to figure out whether or not you're going to be solopreneur or entrepreneur, the first thing I would say is make sure you organize your setup in your mind. It's the flow that once you get into that flow, it's amazing how things start to work and happen. So those three things, one of the first things was to actually organize your thought process. Organize what needs to be done and don't allow it to be something that is, you know, scatters you and causes you to be disfocused. And so that was a major, major thing for me. That was a major challenge for me. And then getting up every day when I didn't necessarily have to, because the jobs that I was taking had different times and dates, getting up every day and saying, I'm going to do this anyway. I started off with, walking. And, you know, that's a discipline. And I would get up and I'd go walking and I would, you know, my way of doing this was pray. I would pray and walk and I would get clarity in my head. And that would be a thing that I did. So I had a routine, get up and walk, come back in, eat breakfast and start on what it is I say I'm going to do. And so that's kind of how, I set up this routine and this process to get me to in the flow and try to stick to it on a consistent basis. And in the days when I was struggling and, couldn't feel like it wasn't working out. I didn't know what I was doing. I'm losing my mind. I need money. I just kept getting up. I just kept doing it. And, eventually it started to work. I started to see some results. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. And I think the biggest thing is that you have to be ready for the challenges of the ups and downs. Even if you have a steady job, you still have to be ready for the ups and downs. And to be ready for the fact that you might be doing something that you don't look like is going anywhere and people aren't acknowledging you or seeing anything, but you have to stay the course. And I think that's the hardest part for any of us because, real vision requires you see beyond what you see. Mm-hmm. Because life throws at you real life issues, and I had plenty of them. And so you're seeing those issues and you want to run back to the safety. I can't do this, right? Because I need to do this over here. Now this is the problem. So I kept getting stay the course. So
no, that's a lot of great stuff that you just touched on. It's funny. I have a morning routine too that I never had until I started working for myself. And I think it's such a huge part, kind of like what you said, to give you the clarity to be able to tackle things properly. In order to kind of attack the day, have the motivation and everything like that. I find that's one of the huge differences going from, more of a structured, I don't want to say structured, but more of a 9-to-5 type, prototypical job or life, because I think that's really the difference is that we go to school, right? And that's extremely structured. You know where to go, which classroom to be in. And then you graduate and you go to work and it's actually fairly similar in the sense that you go to the same building or, maybe you have to travel around or whatever, but you know what you're doing, you're getting your paycheck, you know who to answer to. And then all of a sudden the rug gets pulled.
Right.
And there's this 24-hour block every day that you could theoretically do whatever you want. You know what I mean? And it doesn't have to be work. You could slack off. You could sleep the whole day. You could watch Netflix. You know what I mean? And so not only just needing the motivation to do it, but what is it and how do you do it? There's no perfect way to do it. I don't think everyone has their own. Go ahead.
Well, the reality is a real reality is that sometimes you are going to slack off, because you do have
absolutely.
Those.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to make it seem like I just, I'm just distraught. I got up every day and I never, never did anything wrong. And that's not true. I mean, I didn't, the way in which I slack off may be different from somebody else. But the point is that you still do that. And so what to me comes to my mind is, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to do this? Or am I playing? Is this real? Or is this just like something I'm just playing around with? And so I keep coming back to that reality that I can't play with this. I have to do. And not in a sense of, oh my God, I gotta get this done, but more in a sense of, because I believe that creativity comes when you're not stressed. I don't believe that you get creativity when you're grinding like this, you're so crazy, you just gotta do. Mm-hmm. But I think I had to keep going back to the fact that if I wanted to do this, I have to put the time in.
Right.
So even if I slack off sometimes, I knew I had to come back to this is what I want to do. But because I was in the flow, and I don't know if you probably understand it, I'm not sure if the audience might or may not, but what I consider the flow is that it becomes effortless. You actually enjoying what you're doing. So you're not really thinking about it as a grind. You think about mm-hmm. it like, oh, I'm enjoying this. And then you get one idea that leads off to another idea, and then you start to work on those ideas. And so mm-hmm. there is no special way to do it. Some people can work in the afternoon. Some people work in the early morning. I'm not one of those people who believe you got to be up at 5 o'clock to do X, Y, and Z, because, I think when you're stressed out about something, you don't have the flow. And it's the flow. It's right. in the flow that we get those ideas, get that creativity, and that ability to be able to know what to do with the issue or challenges that we might have. And so right. I'm not telling people to sit around and do nothing. I'm just saying sometimes not to be so gung-ho to the point where, I got to make this happen. Just kind of sometimes relax, like it's going to be okay. And I had to do that because I wasn't always like that. You know, I'd be like, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, I'm like, I gotta do this. But it always worked out for me. I mean, it always came to a point where the little crazies or worries I had kind of worked themselves out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just was listening to a talk today about, fighting your giants. And one of the things it says is that you should run to your problems. And I will have to say that I was not happy embracing challenges. It was not. It was like, does this ever stop?
Welcome to entrepreneurship.
I know, right? And so it was almost like this voice of God was saying, no, it doesn't. This is what you're going to have to contend with, because that's the choice you're making. And so be okay mm-hmm. with that, you know? And so I said, okay, I get it now, you know? I would always be like, I need to go back to security. You know, I just want that security. And it was like, you're not going to ever have that again. If you're right. choosing entrepreneurship, your security is not in the fact that you have a 9-to-5 job that pays you every time and you don't have any problems. What you're going to have to do is utilize your skill and get good at what you do, so that then you begin to get people to want what you have. So that there is no security there. You're not going to have that. So you need to accept that and move on. And so I finally said, you know what? It's not going to happen. I'm just going to keep focused on doing what I know to do and what I feel that I'm good at doing and what I'm passionate about doing. And I think eventually it'll turn into what it's supposed to turn into.
Right. And Renee, you've alluded a few times to kind of the out of necessity aspect. Do you think that was really important? And the reason I ask is because a lot of people who may have side business ideas or want to get started while they're still working a full-time job, do you think that they can commit in the same way that you could, just because you had kind of no other choice?
I guess you did
have, you could have reapplied for teaching jobs, right?
Right, right. And it was something in me, I couldn't do it anymore. And even if I did apply, I wasn't getting any response anyway. And mm-hmm. I figured if I go in a classroom, I would cheat the students because it wouldn't be the same. So I didn't, I'm not that kind of person. I can't do that. But to answer your question, I would say yes, it can, but I think you have to know why you're doing it. You know, like mm-hmm. if you're doing it because you just want a quick buck and you want to just make money on the side, maybe the commitment's not going to be that great.
Right.
If you're doing it for a greater purpose, and I'm not saying that means it's going to be a more of a commitment, but if you have a vision and passion, and other than the fact that necessity, because that's part of it too, but and let me just say this: people who are in a 9-to-5, it might be necessity for them because they don't feel like the job that they're doing is really meeting their needs in terms of their skill set or their desire, their passion. So in that respect, yes, because the necessity is I need to find some other way to make a living that I really enjoy. So I could say mm-hmm. yes to that in that respect. But for those people who are just doing it as a side hustle and it's like, oh, well, I can make some money off of it, it's okay. They may not have that same commitment because they're still got security over here. And that security blanket always going to have them being like, oh, well, I got the job over here. I'm just doing this on the side. So it all depends on the person, that person and personality as well. You know, some people, that's not enough for them. They want to go full, you know, they want to eventually make it where it's what they're doing forever or what they're doing with their life. And so again, I think, yes, it can be, but I think it's the reason why, and I think it has to do with the individual person.
Right. Right. That's great. That's a great answer. Renee, we're getting kind of near towards the end here. Do you have two or three pieces of advice to people who maybe haven't started yet, but they want to, or maybe they're just at the, you know, very, very beginning stages? Any pieces of advice on what they can do to keep moving along?
Well, I think that you should continue to seek clarity, because the challenges of being an entrepreneur are not easy. And I think if you're not clear about what you want and that you really want to do this, you're probably not going to succeed at it. You're not going to stick with it. It's because it's going to be too much. When I think about all the issues that I had, and barring that my circumstances might be a little different from somebody else's, you know, mm-hmm. the reality is it's still challenges. And if you're not ready for those challenges, and if you're not willing to continue on in spite of the challenges, because it's been a learning process for me as well. It's not like I have all the answers and I'm this big guru. I'm still learning. But the challenges and the issues that have cropped up in my life helped me to learn. You know, mm-hmm. I learned more from that than I did from basically everything working out well. So if you're not willing to do that and deal with those challenges, I suggest that you get more clarity about really what you want to do. And then once you have that clarity, you know, take a step forward. You know, I think that the biggest misnomer is that we just have to wait for everything to work out and be perfect, and that's never going to happen. So you have to just step out and take a chance. And even if you get knocked down and it doesn't work, you know, you just keep trying and figuring it out, because eventually it'll start to meld. Like, it took me a while to get to the point where it's clarity, because I was like, I like this, I like that, I want to do this. And I didn't, like, know how to fit all those desires into one package. And then eventually it started to meld because I kept trying. And I just mm-hmm. don't believe that you know, there's an aha moment that you just get all of a sudden. I think it comes to just keep trying, just not giving up. And if you really, really love it, then just keep trying whatever avenues you think you can go through, whatever you can learn, just open yourself up to it. And eventually it'll start to gel and mail, and you'll be surprised how the doors open up. I was telling somebody this the other day. I was like, you know, you think you don't have resources. You think you can't do it because, you know, you're in a situation that doesn't allow you to be able to do it for whatever reason. Think you don't have time. Think of all those things that are an issue or problem. But the moment that I stepped out and said, I'm going to do this regardless, all resources started opening up to me. The things that I needed, not so much the things that I wanted, you know, because you in your head think, this would be this way, it would work out. But that's not necessarily how it works. So you get the resources that you need. And it's amazing how those resources, I'm like, oh my God, I need to learn that class. It came right up on my screen. Like, where'd this come from? You know, some people call it the universe. I call it God, you know, but it started opening up. I started getting the things that I needed to be able to do what I said I wanted to do. So unless I had taken that step and actually acted on it, it would never have happened. I'd still be sitting back trying to figure out, like, what am I going to do? And so my first advice would be seek clarity, because you're going to have challenges. Step out and do the thing that you're afraid to do. And three, to keep at it, because eventually the resources that you need will come to you.
Right. That's great stuff. Renee, thanks so much for coming on. Do you have, you've been mentioning kind of some of your work. Do you want to give a plug to any of your websites or Instagram account or anything like that?
Absolutely. The site that I have my products at is through Society6 and also Redbubble, but it's www.society6.com/simplydesigned. And it's designed with a Z. So it's SimplyDesigned. That was my way of being a little different.
Yeah, and I'll provide the link in the description just so people don't have to get too into trying to spelling it right.
Yes, absolutely. And then Instagram would be Instagram.com/simplydesigned.
Awesome. Renee, thanks again for coming on. A lot of really cool, insightful stuff, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Josh, for having me. I really appreciate, you know, I'm grateful to be able to have someone to do this for me.
Awesome. Thanks again, Renee, and we'll be in touch.
All right.
Bye-bye.